Blog Talk Radio.
I want to know, are you ready? America. Thanks for joining us. I want to know, are you ready to take back our country? As the name of this song states, are you ready to join together on common ground? By that I mean God, family, country, constitution. If so, you've tuned into the right place. If not, hang out with us. You may find there's more right in you than you know. I'm Gary Benford, host of United Patriots Uprising, coming to you every other Monday night for 2 hours of guest-driven, conservative-based political talk. It's all about the message, friends, looking to enlighten, edify, and equip, so each and every one of us will be able to engage, expose, and defeat the radical left's Marxist agenda in the arena of ideas, leading to a red tsunami at the polling places. So are you with me, America? If so, strap on your helmet and take up your shield, because we're in a war for the soul of our nation, and we're not about to lose. Socialism, not in our America, not on our watch. No way, no shape, no how. You've got that right. No way, no shape, no how. Socialism in our America, not going to happen, folks. You know why? Because we won't let it. We'll get into that tonight. Thank you for tuning in once again to another episode of United Patriots Uprising. I'm your host, Gary Benford. We do this on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. The call-in number is 347-637-3942. That's 347-637-3942. If you'd like to talk to me or any of our outstanding guests, that's the number. This is also the network, Patriot Nation Radio Network, where on Tuesday you can catch James Bostic at 7 o'clock with a conservative perspective. And on Thursdays you can catch James Bostic hosting a conservative perspective at 7, followed by the Patriot Nation Radio Live with host Mark Hoffman. Those are my compadres. They brought me onto this network, and I am truly appreciative. Doug Ducey, Arizona governor, said today the White House is divorced from reality. I kind of agree with part of that. The White House never had reality once Lidenhide and Joe Biden got in there. This is not reality, people. This is Marxist socialist fantasy land. We're going to get into that tonight because this is what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about what the heck is going on in this country and how do we correct it. And we're going to get into all sorts of issues. I know you want to talk about the baseball issue and they're, you know, pulling out of the All-Star game and pulling out of Georgia and what's happening at the border. And as each guest comes on, we're going to get into these types of issues. But the one thing I want to do for all of our people, because I know people who listen to this show, they still know that Donald J. Trump should be the president of the United States. He smoked Joe Biden. He had at least 83 million votes. And they messed it up. We understand that. And it's been a fight to this point. But I want to tell you something that kind of gives me a glimmer of hope right now that the worm could be turning. And that is our friend Mike Lindell, Mr. MyPillow himself. Now, not only Mike, Rudy Giuliani, Linwood, and Sidney Powell all went to the nine yards talking about Dominion and how they stole this election. They were flipping votes and they were cheating and this, that, and the other thing. And the Supreme Court wouldn't take the case. And some of the states wouldn't take the case. But Mike Lindell just kept yelling and yelling and yelling and jumping up and down and screaming, I got the proof, I have the proof, here it is right here. And then Dominion went and countersued him. Dominion went and countersued him for like $1 zillion. And here's the beautiful thing to me about this. The Supreme Court did not take the case based upon the Trump people or anybody trying to say the election was stolen. Now that Dominion has countersued, this may force them to take the case. Because if they don't take the case, everybody on the left and the disingenuous mainstream media who is waiting for this, who is waiting to see Trump and waiting to see Lynn Wood and waiting to see Sidney Powell and waiting to see Rudy and Mike Lindell get theirs, they're going to say, well, wait a minute. Go get them. And when Dominion finally figures out, oops, they do have the proof, we're going to have a problem in court. If they pull out, it's going to look really bad for them. Like, wait a minute. They did all this and said all this, and you want to protect your name and this, that, and the other thing, and now you're going to pull out? So I think we have them in a trap. So that's all I'm going to say about this right then and now, because I'm very excited right now. And I'm going to tell you why. A couple of years ago, one of my friends and I, we were going to go to a place in Huntington, Long Island to hear Brigitte Gabriel speak. And he got sick in the car, you know, before we left, and we didn't go to get to hear this outstanding woman speak. So it's been a couple years, but I get to speak to her at night, and you have no idea how excited I am. First off, the definition of tenacity in the face of adversity. If there was such a thing in the dictionary, Brigitte Gabriel's face would be next to it. She's truly an inspirational story of a person who courageously triumphed against the greatest of odds. Now, let's talk about some odds. Imagine this, folks, and this isn't Twilight Zone. This is fact. You're 10 years old. You're in Lebanon, and all of a sudden, you're wounded and buried under a pile of rubble in your own home. Rockets exploding all over the daggone place. That led to Brigitte and her family spending the next 7 years surviving in a bomb shelter underground 8x10. Okay, now if that's not enough for you, her existence has included over the years more bombs and bullets, sadly, sexual violations. She taught herself how to speak English and read English by looking at the subtitles on the TV screen. She finally moved to Israel in 1984, where she became a news anchor for World News. That's an Arab news broadcasting network that covers the Middle East. They went to places like Israel, Syria, Egypt, Lebanon. You know, and I'll let her tell you the rest about that. But Brigitte Gabriel, she's everything you can imagine. A mother, keynote speaker, lecturer, chairman of the largest national security grassroots organization in the USA, Act for America. You've seen her on Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, all these television networks and outlets. She was knighted in Europe, knighted Dame Brigitte Gabriel in 2016. And oh yeah, by the way, she speaks four languages. She's a national security analyst, New York Times bestselling author, latest book entitled Rise, the chairman of Act for America. I am so happy to bring to the broadcast Brigitte Gabriel.
Gary, thank you so much. Wow, what an introduction. Next time I'm depressed, I'm calling you.
You know what? you could do that, but here's one of the issues. We can do this thing back and forth because when I get depressed, which really doesn't kind of happen because I'm one of those glass full type people, but if I do have a problem, I'm going to call you because you are the toughest people I know on the face of the earth. I used to watch you a long time ago when you were standing up there And as a Christian and a follower of Jesus Christ, I understand about Islam. And once I started really getting into the whole thing about world politics as it applies to communism and Marxism, and then you had the radical Islam sect or whatever you want to call it, and everything that was going on. And I was watching you, and I'm saying, I'm praying, God, I please keep this woman alive, because I know you had to be public enemy number one. And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I usually have questions. I don't even want to, I'm not even going to ask you any questions. What I want to do is let you tell our listening audience what's on your mind, what's on your heart, what you want to tell them about the tumultuous state of our nation, and then you can just drop the mic. So we'll get into it back and forth, but where are you right now? What would you want America to know in lieu of what has happened recently in this country and who's in the White House?
Well, if I have one message for our listeners right now, it will be rise in defense of our Judeo-Christian values and freedom. Because America was built on Judeo-Christian values. Judeo-Christian values are the bedrock of Western civilization. And right now, Christianity is under attack. Christians are under attack. People who love God and country are under attack. People that love the Constitution are under attack. People that honor our veterans are under attack. People that stand up for the flag are under attack. People that respect our founding fathers are under attack. We are losing our country to a group of globalist, socialist, fascist, communist, who are trying to destroy America and turn it into a Venezuela or into a third world country. And we cannot let that happen. We are the firewall standing between them, the enemy of America, and our incredible nation that our founding fathers envisioned with all its glory as a shining city on a hill. So now it is our responsibility, our duty. I believe, Gary, that every single generation is called to serve. Some serve on the front lines fighting for our country, and those of us who are not serving in uniform on the front lines can serve here at our home as citizens, as activists, as Americans who can stand up and fight to preserve our freedom. And if I can give one message to one action item for our listeners right now, if my message resonates with you, I urge you to go to our website, the website of my organization, actforamerica.org, actforamerica.org, and join us, sign up to get our emails and action alerts, join us as an activist, start a group in your community if there's no group near you, and become engaged, because together we rise in defense of our security, our liberty, and our values.
You've got that right. And people, what she just said, you've got to get involved. If you want to know why the country is in the situation it is, it's because people on the left, they got involved. They became activists. They got involved for a whole bunch of different reasons. Some got behind the abortion issue, supporting it. Some got behind the same-sex marriage issue. Some got behind, we want a black president. We don't care if he's a Marxist or a communist. Some got behind the environmental movement. Some got behind globalism, as Brigitte said. They got involved. They did it from the ground up. If you listen to this show, we talk a lot about Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals, grassroots. We have to get back to the grassroots. So here's the question, Brigitte. You have been doing this and saying this for a long time. We warned people what was coming down the pike. Now that we're smelling the stench of it, are you starting to get the feeling that people are starting to understand buyer's remorse, and this time maybe are finally ready to get involved?
Well, we are experiencing, Gary, an unprecedented level of activism. I have to tell you, since the beginning of the year, when we started saying, okay, become engaged, become active, we named the organization Act for America. Not think about America, not wish for America, not hope for America, not pray for America. You can do all that. You can hope and wish and pray and think about America. But without acting for America, nothing changes. And so we started really screaming it from the rooftop, especially in January after the election. We were telling people, look, become engaged, become involved. You have got to become engaged at some level. Start a group in your community. If right now, anywhere you are, just get together a group of your friends, even 5 people, 10 people, get together in your breakfast nook, on your dining room table, and start organizing in your community. And I'm proud to tell you that we have received so far at least 300 new group applications that have started, that sprung up nationwide. I mean, in such a fast period of time, it was incredible the growth that we were experiencing. And I'm being conservative because I have not seen the last numbers of the people that joined. But it is amazing to see people are waking up. Now, people do not know what to do. People ask me, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? I do not. I'm informed. I'm engaged. You know, I listen to talk radio. I read the internet. I watch The Blaze and Fox News and Newsmax. But I do not know what to do. And we say, no problem. We make it easy for you. Sign up, at least sign up as an activist, because you will get action alerts and emails about different bills coming down for a vote in different states. Right now, Gary, we are working, Act for America, we are working on election integrity bills in at least 20 states across the country. And we have action alerts going out. Like, I know tomorrow morning we have an action alert going out to Florida, another one going out to Arizona, and another one going out to Texas. And so I urge people, if you are listening to this broadcast right now, because I know a lot of people listen to the internet nationwide, no matter where you are, go to our website, actforamerica.org, and sign up. And when you sign up, so you can get our action alerts, so you can be notified when there is a bill coming down in a state where we need you to make your voice heard, make sure you give us your name and your address, not just your email. And here is why. Because if we are sending an action alert about a bill coming down for in New York, if we do not know that you live in New York, if we just have your name and email, you are not going to be notified. Because when we send an action alert to New York, you're not going to be on the list. The same thing if we send an action alert to people in Texas. If you live in California, you're not going to get that bill because it's specifically for the people of Texas. And we need to have the emails and addresses of people in Texas in order to connect them to that bill. And here's why we ask for the address. Because your elected official needs to verify that you are a constituent so you can be connected with them directly in our system. Your elected official will not even read your email, or any elected official, unless they know you are a constituent. So when you receive people sending you petitions saying, sign this petition, all you have to do is give your name, first name, last name, and email, rest assured that petition will never be delivered to its intended recipient, because the company that's collecting that information are selling your name and your email address for advertising purposes, not for political purposes. And it's important for people to understand that, because I know a lot of people, especially on our side, are very concerned about privacy, and I completely understand. And that's why we at Act for America have made it a policy from the time we started in 20 years ago. We do not sell your information. We do not rent your information. We do not lease your information. We do not share your information. We keep it completely private. We did this for 19 years, and we're not about to change it now. So please go to our website, actforamerica.org, sign up to get our action alerts about bills coming down for a vote in your state. A lot of states right now are holding their legislative sessions. A lot of bills are coming down the pipe. And if you want to be a voice affecting your community and our nation, we need you with us. America needs you engaged, so together we can save our country.
People listen to her. This is a warrior. As John DeLemme, who's coming on later, he talks about the Gideons and the Davids. This is a warrior right here. And this organization is a great organization. I get the emails. And what she's telling you, what the reason, one of the important reasons why we need to go to the internet with these great organizations, everyone within the sound of our voices, is because we can't trust the media. The media just doesn't put out, you know, the disingenuous mainstream media, and now even Fox News, you know, you're just not going to get this. Now, think about this. Anything that happens in America, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, all the left-wing groups, Code Pink, whoever they may happen to be, they're able to mobilize thousands all over the country in one day and have riots or lootings and protests in 50 cities at the same time. They didn't do that through smoke signals. They do it through the internet. We need to do this. So please listen to her and please join up if you can. Now, Brigitte, one of the things that you are known as is a national security expert. So what I would like to do is have you please tell us, what do you think is the biggest national security problem we have at this point?
Oh, my goodness. We have so many threats from within and from without. It's nothing that we cannot overcome if we come together as Americans. Remember, we are 75 million, 80 million people plus who believe in an America First movement. It is an idea. It is a movement. It is no longer just a campaign slogan. And so when we come together, we can defeat those threats. And I'm saying that before I even name the threats, because I know when I start talking about them, they would look overwhelming. But remember, we are Americans and we can overcome everything and anything. Right now, the threats within the United States are with who is running our country, who's pulling the strings behind Joe Biden, what groups, and I mean what globalists, what communists are running America right now. Joe Biden is not running it. We have communist, socialist, globalists who are running the show in America right now, who are imposing their will on the rest of the American public, and that's what we're fighting. So you've got the Antifa and Black Lives Matter, who are the tools that these communist, socialist, fascists use against the American people to destroy our cities, to attack our citizens. The lawlessness that we are seeing right now across the nation with the rise of the crime in every state right now because of their policy against the police and defunding and their calls to defund the police. This is a crisis that we're going to be facing, especially within the next year or two, because we are not recruiting enough police officers and a lot of police officers are resigning. So those are the threats from within, with the communist, socialist, fascists who are basically trying to sabotage the country. The threats from the outside are even more concerning, and they are from Iran and China. We know that Iran and China just signed this last Saturday, not Easter weekend, but the Saturday before, they signed a 25-year-old partnership where they locked arm in a strategic coalition, in a strategic partnership, so together they can develop weapons, research, ammunition, strategic training, military training together. China just funneled into Iran, pledged $400 billion, and that's with a B, $400 billion in exchange for oil. And that means Iran is going to be flushed with cash that Iran will use to fund and support terrorists and terrorism and bad actors worldwide. Now, why should we be concerned about that? Because Iran funds Hezbollah, its proxy army, which has committed terrorist attacks on four continents. We should be concerned about Hezbollah because Hezbollah has a command center in the tri-states in South America. They are working with the drug cartels and bringing terrorists into the United States, smuggling them through the Mexican border. We know so far at least 31 Iranian and Yemeni agents have been smuggled through the Mexican border by the drug cartels.
Wow.
Hezbollah is teaching the drug cartels how to build tunnels to smuggle drugs between Mexico and the United States. Hezbollah perfected the tunnel building technology in Lebanon and is sharing that with the drug cartels. And it's a win-win situation for both of them, because the drug cartels will be able to smuggle their drugs into America, and Iran will be able to smuggle its proxy army, Hezbollah, into the United States. The reason why this is so threatening to the United States is because we know we are going to run into a confrontation with Iran sooner or later. We're going to have to run into this confrontation because Iran is developing a nuclear weapon. what type of situation we are going to be in when Iran has already its operatives embedded within the United States in different states across America, but when we get into this confrontation with them, what type of negotiating power we're going to have, or what type of problems they're going to be able to cause to us while they are in the United States. And that's why what happens over there does not stay over there. It is in our borders. The world has become so small right now with people flying everywhere, with the internet. The world has become one global city, and we are all interconnected. So this is why decisions that we make here in the United States does not only affect what happens globally, but it always boomerang and comes back to affect us here at home.
This is she's just kicking out the facts, everybody. This is the truth here. We need to understand what we're fighting, because we don't want it to get too far before we can't stop this. Brigitte, I just have a question that makes no sense to me. Maybe you can square this. I can't square this in my mind, no matter how I try. We understand, some of us, a lot of us, when we went through all the problems with bin Laden and when we were having all the problems with the Islamic terrorists, and we understood that, and then President Trump did a great job getting rid of ISIS and helping to, you know, kind of stop, and we had the one World Trade Center bombing, and we had, so we had this thing going, and everybody knew we have to watch out for these people who are saying death to America. So then the Democrats decide they want to open the southern border to let immigrants across. Doesn't it dawn on the minds of anybody, forget the leadership because I know what they're about, but why can't people, or didn't people think, gee, if immigrants or illegal aliens are going to come across, and that's what they are, they're illegal aliens because they're coming and they're not, you know, they're not coming the right way. If the illegal aliens are going to come across the border, why won't terrorists follow them? I don't get it.
Well, you know, they don't care. They really don't. They do not understand the threat the way you and I and our listeners do, because they don't look at them as terrorists. I mean, look at what Obama did with Iran, sending cash pallets in the middle of the night like drug money. He literally pulled a Chicago stunt on the international stage, giving them money in the middle of the night, thinking if he appeases the bully is going to leave us alone. And you can't do that. You know, you cannot negotiate with the Iranians. You cannot talk with the Iranians. They are contracts don't mean anything to them. Nothing means anything to them. So they underestimate our enemy. They do not understand our enemy. And that's where the problem comes, because we are literally looking at two different way of thinking, Gary. You've got the conservative and the Republicans on one side who say, okay, if somebody says they want to kill you, they usually follow through because, you know, they're telling it to their face. The Democrats on the other side say, oh, they don't really mean that. They're just upset and they're just blowing out air. That's not how the world works. And so right now, the people who are running our country do not believe that Iran is the threat that it is. They believe that America needs to be brought down a few notches. We need to be on par with the rest of the world, because America is no better than Zimbabwe, than Mozambique, than Afghanistan, than Iraq. You know, we're all the same. No, societies are not created equal. And that's why we have to fight, Gary, and fight with everything we have, because we're going to lose our country. And don't think we're going to get second chances. You know, we're not going to get a second chance. This is it. Fight for your life.
You've got that right. I have to ask you this question. People who have listened to this show have heard my bomb story before. I used to write sports for the New York Daily News. I was covering a Knicks game at Madison Square Garden. And after the paper told me, after I filed my story, to call, and they said there'd been a death threat on my life, that if I started my car, they'd never see me again. So the police were there, and the bomb-sniffing dogs and everybody, and they went and they had their little Geiger counter things, and they went and examined my car. And then they said it's safe to start it. And then as soon as I got in my car and was ready to turn the key, they all moved back 10 yards. know, I'm like, oh, thanks. And of course it started. Now, my question to you, what was it like as a 10-year-old and as your life progressed, living in an area where they're not trying to get you outside, they're bombing your own home. What was that like, and how did you, through that experience, come to be this great warrior that you are now?
Wow. You know, they say what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. We all have heard that statement. It's in every language. It doesn't matter what language you speak, what country you live in. We pretty much all have the same type of saying. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And this is where I decided to fight evil, because I know what happens when people turn a blind eye to evil thinking it's not going to happen to me. And for those who do not know my background, I was born and raised in Lebanon, which used to be the only majority Christian country in the Middle East. We were open-minded. We were fair. We were tolerant. We were multicultural. We prided ourselves in our multiculturalism. We had open border policy. We welcomed everyone into our country because we wanted to share with them the westernization which we had created in the heart of the Middle East. Beirut became Paris of the Middle East, the banking capital of the Middle East. Muslims and people from the Arabic countries used to send their children to study in our economy because we had built the best economy in the Middle East, even though we did not have any oil. All that began to change once we imported into our country a radical foreign element into the country thinking, oh, we're just going to help them out. Well, we brought the Palestinian refugees into Lebanon. Lebanon actually was the only country to accept the third wave of Palestinian refugees thinking, oh, we'll just put them in refugee camp. We'll help them out, you know, until they can get on their feet. What happened was those people that we took in use our own democracy and our own open-mindedness and fairness and tolerance to literally destroy our democracy. My 9/11 happened to me in 1975 when radical Islamists blew up my home, bringing it down, burying me under the rubble wounded. I ended up in a hospital for 2.5 months and later ended up living in a bomb shelter with my parents underground in an 8x10 room without electricity, without water, and very little food. And that's where I lived for the next 7 years of my life, fighting to survive. I remember dressing in my burial clothes at the age of 13, waiting to be slaughtered. We heard a lot of chatter on the radio, and one of our Christian militia friends stopped by, and he said, Brigitte, I just want you to know that we heard a lot of chatter, and our town is going to be attacked tonight. And he said, if I don't see you tomorrow, I wish you a merciful death. And he left. And I remember, Gary, at the age of 13 years old, dressing in my Sunday best, my Easter dress, because I wanted to look pretty when I am dead, knowing that when they come to slaughter me, there would be no one to bury me. And I remember my mother combing my long hair down to my hips and tying a white ribbon in my hair that matched the white daisies in my dress, that matched the white daisies in my blue dress. And I remember begging her, I don't want to die. I'm only 13 years old. Please, I don't want to die. Do something. And there was nothing my mother could say to me. And I remember sitting in the corner of our bomb shelter. We had a two-hour ceasefire. And my father started praying. And he opened up the Bible and started reading from Psalms. I shall walk into the valley of death and fear no evil, for thou art with me.
Amen.
And my parents. Amen. And my parents said to me, they said, when they come to slaughter us tonight, we will create a distraction. You're an only child. You are a young child. You just run towards Israel and don't look back. You see, we lived 5 kilometers from the Israeli border. And we knew if we run to the Jews and beg for help, the Jews are not going to slaughter us because we had more shared values with them than we had with the Muslims. Thank God I didn't have to make that difficult decision, Gary, because that's the night when Israel came in physically into Lebanon and established a security zone and set up artillery bases around our town to keep us alive. And that's how we survived. And I ended up moving to Israel in 1984 and becoming a news anchor for World News, working out of Jerusalem, and from there I came to the United States. So I understand. Let me track back. I made it my life's mission to fight evil, That's why I got into journalism, to expose what happens when people remain silent and not speak the truth, because they are either coward or they are afraid or they lack the backbone to stand up and be counted. And when I came to the United States, I thought I left all the crazies behind. 9/11/2001 was a defining moment for the United States. But for me in particular, it was even a more of a defining moment, because that's when I realized, if it's not I, then who? It's not now, then when? And I decided I'm going to start a nonprofit organization, and I'm going to dedicate my life to exposing evil, speaking against evil, and doing everything I can to make sure I preserve the America that I came to, the great America, as a great nation to my children and from their children to their children. And that's when I started Act for America.
You know, what a testimony. You know, As I said, I used to watch you, and I said, that woman has courage. What a testimony. Brigitte, you're always welcome to come back to the show. Thank you for dropping mega doses of knowledge. Please tell people once again how they can reach you and your organization.
People can go to our website, actforamerica.org, Act for America, and that's with the F-O-R America, not the letter four, actforamerica.org, and join us, sign up as an activist, start a group in your community. If you are able, if there's no group near you, start your own. If there's a group near you, you can join it. And I want to give a big shout out to our group leader and state leader in New York, Mark. I'm not going to say the last name because for security reasons, I don't reveal last names, but we need more people engaged and involved. Go to our website and join us so together we can make a difference for our country.
Amen to that. And by the way, my producer who called you, he's got a cannon. So if you need a little something, he has a cannon. maybe he'll let you borrow it. But thank you for coming on. You're always welcome to come on the show. And boy, just keep doing what you're doing. We'll keep you in our prayers.
Thank you so much.
The one and only Brigitte Gabriel. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Good. What a testimony. You know, see, because she's lived it. And when you've grown up as a child and there's bombs and they're bombing your house and you think you're going to die in something, I always wondered why nothing scares this woman. Now I understand. Now, here's another person that doesn't get scared very easily. And I know if some boogeymen show up, I want Claire Lopez on my side. Claire has been on the show several times before. I consider her a friend, and she's a career CIA operative officer. That's what she used to do. And she was previously a senior fellow at the London Center for Policy Research. She is really a national security authority with a keen insight and expertise on Islamic terrorism and Middle Eastern threats in the United States. And I know Claire was like, I don't know if you can use the term busting at the gut with a woman, but I know she was on a couple of weeks ago and we didn't get to finish. And she's like, I want to be perfect. So I'm so glad to bring right back again, Claire Lopez. How are you, Claire?
Hey, Gary. Hi. Good evening. Very good to be with you again. Thanks for bringing me back.
I know. You're always welcome. And we had unfinished business because we were getting into this whole thing about the communist takeover of America. And we ran out of time right at this point. So I'm going to pick up where we left off. And my question to you was, you were there at that, whatever you want to call it, on I think it was January 6th at the White House when all the stuff went down. And you know about Dominion. You know the election was stolen. You know this person in the White House doesn't belong there. You understand the Marxist, socialist, communist, whatever you want to call them. You know all this. You've always known all this. Now, are you starting to see people getting buyer's remorse?
Oh, yeah. I think we're talking about Democrat voters having buyer's remorse. Even Black Lives Matter having buyer's remorse. You know, it doesn't do us much good to share in the Schadenfreude, as it were. But there's plenty of buyer's remorse going around out there. It's only going to get worse.
Okay. The other question that was tied in with that was about the kids. You know, they think it's about a Che Guevara t-shirt and free stuff. Why can't we shake them of this? And is it starting to happen? And if it's not, what do we have to do to get the youth? Because they're the future. They're what these major companies are looking to. This is who baseball, football, basketball, hockey, the entertainment industry, they're starting to cater to them because they want those entertainment dollars coming from them as the next generation. And if these kids are going to come up Marxist, they're going to slide in that direction. How do we reach these kids?
You know, that is such an important question, Gary. But let me tell you real quick, I am sitting here in front of my computer. And just as we were talking about that last question you had about the buyer's remorse, up on the home page of Fox News comes this headline. Kemp believes Abrams has buyer's remorse after Major League Baseball boycott over Georgia law. A little late now, we'd say, right?
Well, I'm glad you – hold on. I'm glad you brought that up. Because this was an issue I wanted to get into with you. See,
okay. What
is happening, as you know, cultural Marxism. You know, they couldn't change it by revolution. You know, the Karl Marx, they're going to do the Italian communist Antonio Gramsci version, which is to try and change to changing the language and changing the Western culture. That's what this is all about. It's not about racism or anything like that. Hey, you know, you can't even go to a liquor store without an ID. Without a picture ID, and you can't have a driver's license. This is not about what it's about. So what I wanted to ask you, and this is probably why Stacey Abrams, who is as far left as you can get, has buyer's remorse, because she's starting to see, wait a minute, okay, what are we going to do about the Masters in Augusta? What are we going to do about other things we want to do? Don't forget, Hollyweird moved to Georgia. They've been moving and making a lot of their films there. What are you going to do, shut the state down there? So I think the buyer's remorse that she has is this may not go down the way we thought it's going to go down. It's going to ostracize maybe a half of the country we can't afford to lose at this point.
Well, I mean, just right there in Georgia. I mean, the further news in that story I just gave you the headline for, it's talking about ordinary small businesses, you know, all over Georgia. This decision to hold the playoff game in Atlanta was made like 2 years ago.
It's the All-Star game, right.
The All-Star game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all kinds of businesses have been preparing for it ever since in Georgia, especially in Atlanta. They're all out of luck right now. They're all out of perhaps great big investments in, I don't know, maybe upgrades to their facility or, you know, the business that would have come with this All-Star game being in Atlanta, now not going to come anymore. There are going to be a lot of businesses, and they don't have a D next to their name or an R or an I. They're just small business people, and they're out of luck right now. They're going to lose hundreds of millions of dollars.
It's going to affect the hotels. It's going to affect the vendors. It's going to affect the small businesses. See, people have to understand, when the circus comes to town, and I don't mean the circus, but as somebody that has been involved in professional sports previously and professional music, like when you have a Final Four, an NCAA championship, or a Super Bowl, the World Series, I remember back in the day when Magic Johnson and Larry Bird were bouncing back and forth in the NBA Finals. You're going to play three games or four games in Los Angeles, three in Boston. Those cities, all the restaurants, the places are jumping, are hopping. When these things, the Super Bowl, that whole 2 weeks, people are there are some people that count on these events to make money for about enough salary to last them half a year. None of that is going to happen. Do they really care, though?
Well, the businesses sure care.
No, I mean the people that did this.
Sure care.
The
and
people that did
the public,
this.
You know, the fans that really were going to either go to the game living nearby in Atlanta, in Georgia, or lots of folks probably already purchased, plane tickets, maybe made reservations, who knows what. They're all going to be out of a game in Atlanta, Georgia. It's not just you know, any one sector. This is going to be a huge hit to a lot of ordinary, everyday Americans, you know, baseball fans.
You're very right about that. Now, we've been talking around this issue, so please alert the people what this law and what is really going on here. And I've been listening to like the two managers in New York, Aaron Boone of the Yankees and Rojas of the Mets, and they're like, oh, yes, this is good. We have to stop racism and stop this discrimination. None of that. Please tell everybody what this is really about.
This is, I guess, what they would call woke-ism or something. Now, I don't have a copy of the bill in front of me right now, but as I understand the way it's written, it actually safeguards elections. It puts safeguards around elections. It defines and expands voter access to elections. It's nothing like what it's being portrayed in the leftist media, which simply wants to take revenge against Georgia and the governor Kemp, of course, for having signed this bill into law, for the simple fact that it does require an ID card. It requires an American citizen to show a valid ID card, whether to vote in person or to request and receive an absentee ballot and to vote by mail. That is what they're upset about. Why are they upset about it? Well, maybe they could tell us why. Delta Airlines maybe care to step up and tell us why we have to show an ID card to get on one of their airplanes, but they're objecting to showing an ID card to go vote. The hypocrisy, the double standards, they just reek.
You've got that right, Claire. Okay, Claire, you know me, and you know, oh, by the way, congratulations on I just learned today that you will be among the speakers again at the Rock the Red back in Greenville in early June.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. You know, like you tear it up again. This would be great. I'm glad to hear you be speaking again. So right now I'd like you to speak on what, you know, I bang the drum every week about this, that the show is on, about cultural Marxism, about Gramsci and the Frankfurt School, because this is why we're in. People don't necessarily understand political correctness. They don't understand that the change of trying to change through a language and the culture instead of revolution that the Bill Ayers and the Abby Hoffmans and the H.R.F. Browns, they want to blow everything up. Now they're changing it through culture, language, wokeness, all this stuff. Can you kind of break down rather simply, just for the people that still have never heard it, what the Frankfurt School did when it came in to the colleges and this has exploded into this mess we have now?
Sure. So, I've talked about this a little bit before, and we do have to go back about 100 years to the 1917 revolution in Russia, the communist Bolshevik revolution led by Vladimir Ilyich Lenin, which they won. And very shortly thereafter, they set up means by which to export the revolution to other places, not just Russia. Germany was going to be their first target because they thought it was the most vulnerable. They already had a foothold in terms of a communist party in Germany. But this is the late 20s, the 1930s, beginning of the 1930s, and fascism, Nazism was rising in Germany. Hitler was rising in Germany. And they strenuously opposed the inroads of communism into their country. And it turned into pitched street battles, the brown shirt Nazis versus the black shirt communists. That's where Antifa comes from, the black shirts. That's why they're the black bloc to this day, because they were fighting in black clothing back then against the Nazis in Germany. Well, long story short, the communists lost. They got kicked out. The Nazis won, and we know what happened after that. But they took themselves away from Germany, and they next fixed their sights on the United States. And Soviet Comintern, Soviet Communist International, was that vehicle for the export of the revolution. And one of its key targets, obviously, was academia in America. And so there was this thing called the Frankfurt School, the Institute for Social Research in German, Institut für Sozialforschung. And it was in Frankfurt, Germany. Some of its leading members, leadership, included Herbert Marcuse. This institute was attached to the Goethe University at Frankfurt, Germany. They came over here. They decamped. They got kicked out. They came to America. One of the absolute most important moves ever made by the communists, and that was to infiltrate our academic system, take over our teachers' unions, teachers' associations, take over curriculum, and really insert communist Marxist ideology into the academic system in America. And this goes from K through 12 and all the way through university, and you can see where we are now.
And people understand, they came in the 50s. This has been going on for 75 years. For 75 years, they've been indoctrinating your kids.
They came in the 20s.
Oh, I was talking about the Frankfurt School.
The 20s.
Oh, the 20s?
Yes, 20s and 30s.
I thought they came to NYU, came to Columbia in the 50s. Okay, I'm sorry. I stand corrected.
They may have landed there at some point, but they first to the United States, the first leading elements even further back. So, I mean, they've had a long head start on us. That's the
right.
point.
And that's the problem. They've had 75 years to 100 years of indoctrinating our kids. You're paying $40,000 a year to turn your kids into Marxists and socialists. This is not good. We've got to stop it. Claire, what do you see happening? You know, I really didn't think Biden was going to get in there. I thought all the fraud was going to be found out by now. We know they cheated. We know the Supreme Court won't hear it. Do you think I don't know if you heard my opening, but with Mike Lindell speaking out and then the countersuit of Dominion against him, is this going to now force the court to finally take this case? Because if they don't, if they say, well, you didn't have enough evidence for us to take it, and now Dominion countersues, and they won't take the case, people will be like, well, wait a minute. Dominion's name has been smeared, according to you, if they didn't have enough, so why aren't you taking the case?
Well, you know, I've listened to Mike Lindell's interviews. I've watched his films, Absolute Truth, and the second one, the new one that just came out, and I forget the second part of that. Absolute is the theme of that, and there will be another one coming next week, I think, as well. But in any case, it's a series of interviews with experts demonstrating scientifically, for the most part, the anomalies, the algorithmic-based anomalies in very many districts across the United States, not even just the battlefield states. The most recent one with a Dr. Frank, which just came out like a few days ago, maybe the end of last week, perhaps. It talks about how the algorithms that were developed, you don't even have to go anymore to Dominion or its machinery or its tabulators or its servers, but rather what Dr. Frank showed was that the algorithms developed and used in districts across the entire United States were literally based precisely on the results of the 2010 census in the United States. And based on that, they built the algorithms to show a number of voters, registered voters, and then secondly, ballots cast that precisely mirror the 2010 census. And that is how they built the algorithms, and it's amazing in charts that they showed, on the screen, the precision with which number of registered voters, number of ballots cast, exactly mirrored the 2010 census results, meaning that it was all fake, because the census results of 2010 were not the actual voters in a place, or voters registered in a place, or ballots cast in a place. in 2020, 10 years later. So in any case, there's a tremendous amount of evidence. It's still being collected. Maricopa County, for example, in Arizona, is now going through a forensic audit that's been approved. So, I mean, the efforts continue to bring this evidence to bear. And as Mike Lindell says, the intent is that so many Americans will now see all of this evidence that the grassroots, you know, pressure from the citizens themselves is going to be overwhelming. Whether it makes it to the courts, to the Supreme Court, well, I mean, we shall see. But the work that they're doing is just, it's tremendous.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm waiting for this hammer to come down with all this information. And you just gave me the key to something because, you know, I've been doing this show since June, and I've had a lot of people on. I've had Pierre Wilson from Blexit, and, you know, that's Candace Owens' organization. I knew that Pierre and Candace Owens and Brandon Tatum were doing their thing, and Diamond and Silk, and Kanye West, and Dr. Carol Swain, and Linda Lee Tarver. There's people, Vince Allen, people, all kind of black people, the Black Voices for Trump. There was just so much of a groundswell of black voters for Trump, especially when the economy was going well. And it looked like he was going to get upwards of over 20% of the vote. And then he ended up getting 8. I'm saying something's wrong. And I just thought they just rigged the machines in the black districts, which are mainly Democratic districts. But from what you're saying, maybe they didn't have to rig them. If they just used the algorithms from 2010, you're going to end up with a Barack Obama vote. So that could help explain that. But hopefully this is all going to come out in the wash. Claire, you're always welcome to come on. I really appreciate you coming on again. I know, you know, you have a wealth of knowledge, and I really, really enjoy talking to you, and I hope the audience enjoys listening to you. Please tell them what you're doing or any website or anything that you're involved with yet that you would like
them
to know
about.
Sure, sure.
So Lopez Liberty LLC, still working on a website, not up yet. But in the meantime, I blog at newsmax.com. And I post my videos and radio interviews and written pieces on social media at Claire M. Lopez on Facebook, Parlay, and Twitter. And I also post everything up that I possibly can at Citizens Commission on National Security, at the United West, Tom Trento's group, at Brandon House's website, Worldview Weekend, at, of course, American Truth Project. And I hope I'm not forgetting any, but those are the major places where you might find my links to my writing and broadcasts and so forth.
Well, I hope people will go look, because Claire has been doing this a long time, former CIA operative, and national security really didn't get into the Middle East today. We got into that a little bit with Brigitte Gabriel, but believe me, go to her sites and see what she's about, because Claire knows what she's talking about. Thank you for coming on, Claire. Looking
Thanks,
forward.
Jerry.
I do plan to be down at Rock the Red. We'll rock it again, and I'm glad
Definitely
that you'll be
see you
speaking.
There.
Okay. Hey, thanks. Once again, Claire Lopez, everybody. Now, people, from what I am gathering, 1,000 illegal aliens crossing the border per day. If they're counting 1,000, it's got to be more. As you heard from our first guest, Brigitte Gabriel, these aren't just people coming across from Honduras, from Mexico, from that. You don't really think that terrorists from the Middle East are coming across? Are people wearing masks? So are they being tested? Do they even know who they are and where they are? So let me see. If I want to go and shop right and I don't have a mask on, they want to, you know, throw me in jail or charge me, fine me, whatever, you know. Or and people, like, you're walking around Long Island here, and I don't wear a mask unless I have to. And people are looking at me, and I'm in Trader Joe's line, and a guy and his wife in front of me, like, why don't you put your mask on? And I said, you really want me to tell you? Listen to my radio show. I didn't, you know. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is you have that going on. You have, like, the gun thing going on. You have the thing with China and Iran going on. You have Biden, Joe Biden, just totally, completely out of it. You have the infrastructure where the money is not going for infrastructure. The money is going to the Democratic operative stuff. You still have Antifa and you have Black Lives Matter still doing their things and tearing up and burning stuff up. And then you have the sports teams all pulling together with Coke and all this wokeness bull crap. All of this is happening. He hasn't even gotten onto the abortion yet. He'll get around to that. But they don't care. They're not opening up Democratic cities and areas. The businesses are closing. People, I really hope you're starting to get the stench of this. You know what? It starts with an S and ends with a T. I hope enough people who vote for these Marxists, communists, socialists, whatever you want to call them, that's all a form of progressivism, whatever you want to call them, they're collectivists. There's all this different flavors of the same rotten stank tree. I hope you're starting to get the stench of that and getting ready to do something about it, to take this country back. And along those lines, we'll bring somebody on that's very good at talking people off the ledge. At least he used to be. He may be on a ledge now for all I know, because I don't think Dr. Steve Turley or myself actually expected this to happen the way it has. But Dr. Turley has a PhD from Durham University, internationally recognized scholar, speaker and author, considered one of the most exciting voices in the intellectual dark web. But forget the dark. He's also in the light with his Turley Talk. .com. You can see his videos, podcasts, writings. He's authored more than 20 books. He plays the guitar classically, and he's been on twice before, and I want to thank Dr. Steve Turley for coming back. Hopefully he could talk some of us off the ledge that are up there, because I don't know, Doc, did you expect us to end up in this position?
Great to be back with you, Gary.
We need answers.
Great to be back with you, my dear friend.
Thanks.
Yeah,
I love talking to you. You're the man. I love talking to you.
Well, right back at you, Gary. Right back
Thank
at you.
You.
Yeah,
Thank you.
It's tough. There's no question. I mean, maybe we talked about it last time on your show, the Stockdale Principle, named after Admiral James Stockdale, who was the highest ranking POW during the Vietnam War. And he was, you know, he was Ross Perot's running mate in 92. And his troops that were captured with him and survived several years of torture, when they were asked, how are you able to endure such horrific hardship? They called it, in effect, the Stockdale Principle. They said, Admiral Stockdale told us bottom line two things that we can never, ever, ever let go of. Number one, we must never, ever despair. We cannot despair. I was talking to Seb Gorka the other day, and he said it beautifully. To despair is un-American. We are not allowed to despair. To look at what our forefathers have gone through, just take not just in our United in American history. I mean, take the last 400 years, 500 years, the African diaspora, you name it. There would be plenty of times for people to have despaired in far more horrific situations than we find ourselves, and yet they did not. They kept persevering, and they held on to a very real hope that God always saves his people. So that's number one. Number two, you cannot you must rightly understand the very grave, serious situation that you're in and deal with it proportionately. So it's almost like two separate things are being brought together, and that's what creates the magic. You can never, ever despair and lose hope, ever. And boy, I know we hear plenty of people doing that, and I think Seb Gorka is right. Well, then you're not American anymore when you do that. You know, I would love to have heard how they sounded in 1776 when we were about to take on the biggest superpower the world had ever seen, that didn't have a habit of losing battles, you know, when they wanted to take over territory in an empire where the sun never set. So I guess a lot of people would have despaired at that time, but thank God a number of our founding fathers did not, number one. But number two, as our founding fathers did, rightly, they fully recognized the situation. They were in the dire circumstances they were in. Ben Franklin, I think it was, who said, well, we need to hang together lest we hang separately, and things akin to that. That's, I think, a very solid, strong, positive, and winning attitude to have. And then we can look at what we're we can look at what the situation is that we're facing directly.
Dr. Turley, that all sounds good. I'm digging it. Here's my question back to you. As Vlad Lenin and Joseph Stalin said, they talked about the useful idiots that the communists used to further their goals. And when they found out they were being used, it was too late.
Right.
Part of the problem that I am concerned about here, there are too many people that don't even realize we're in a war for the soul of the nation.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
How do we reach those people?
Of course.
I talk to some of them, and they're clueless.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. I do. I hear you. I think big picture, the world – Solzhenitsyn recognized this actually back in the 1970s. The world is splitting apart. The world is breaking up in two. We see it in our own country, but it's happening all over the world. It's been happening now for a few decades. So after the fall of the Soviet Union on Christmas Day 1991, there were two schools of thought. One school of thought was represented by Francis Fukuyama of my old alma mater, Johns Hopkins, our old stomping ground in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And he argued that we had now reached the end of history. We were going to see an unbridled future of unparalleled success when it came to global secular liberalism. The two other alternatives to that were Soviet communism and Nazi fascism. They both died, and now we were going to see this amazing future of unparalleled success, where now the Middle East and Africa and Russia and China, they were all going to embrace, liberal, globalist, democratic values. We were all going to be drinking Coca-Cola, and, holding hands and singing Kumbaya. And then there was a second school of thought, and that was represented by Sam Huntington of Harvard University. And he came out and said, no, Francis, that's not what's happening. What happened to the Soviet Union is actually going to be happening around the world. And he looked at the Balkans as an example. This is back in the 1990s. And the world is breaking up. It no longer wants this one-size-fits-all modernist, globalist, right, political economic system, whether it was in the form of communism, fascism, or liberalism. They didn't want it. And they were going back to nation, culture, custom, tradition. Many were going back to ethnicity, race. This is what the French scholar Michel Maffesoli had predicted would happen in the 1970s. He called it a neo-tribalism. That is, the modern world began to fall apart, the EU, the UN, and so on. More and more populations are going to turn, for lack of a better term, they're going to turn to the right, but in terms of a very ethno-nationalist turn, as opposed to a civic nationalist turn, which is, of course, what Trump wanted to do, a polyethnic society that's governed and galvanized and unified by our common traditions and culture, and in our case, of course, our Judeo-Christian culture. So what we're finding is the world is splitting apart. On one side, we've got the Fukuyamas, those who believe that liberalism is the future, that globalism is the future, that, lifestyle values and gender fluidity and all these sort of – and woke culture, that's the future and it's unstoppable. Just one problem, 80 million people aren't going along for the ride. And that's the other side of it. The other side of it is those of us who want to go back to nation and culture and custom and tradition. And even – and this is interesting, Gary. You'll notice even on the left, you're starting to see that breakup with the rise
indeed.
Of BLM.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Even on the left, BLM is as ethno-tribalist as you can get. They are every bit as ethno-tribalists as, say, Richard Spencer of, you know, white nationalist fame. It's the same thing. It's the same dynamic. Now, I know they're on the left in terms of their economics, their Marxism, as it were, but we have to think about left and right not so much in terms of economics, I think. We have to think of it in terms of identity.
Right, ideology.
Yeah, an ideology. So what you've got is you've got a left now that's being represented by the globalism, woke corporatism, and the like, on the one hand, and the new right are those who want to go back to nation, culture, custom, and tradition, reassert our national sovereignty, our borders, our economic nationalism, bring our manufacturing jobs back home, bringing back a sense of solidarity around our common Christian heritage and the like. And again, they're doing the same thing in India, except it's going to be in the Hindu outworking. They're doing the same thing in Brazil with Jair Bolsonaro, who's known as the tropical. Even in a sense, that's what's giving rise to this renewed China, is a radical sense of nationalism, of overcoming what they the Chinese called the great humiliation of the 20th century. And there, so you're seeing it. You're seeing it in Russia with the rise of the Russian Orthodox Church like we've never seen before, Hungary, Poland explicitly seeking to recreate the Christian civilization. So astonishing things are happening, but on both sides, of course. For us, terrifying things on the one side, but astonishing things are happening on our side as well.
Right, and it's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out. So let's back up, because where did it go wrong? Okay, we thought, all right, the Supreme Court would look at all the fraud and say, you know, okay, we got to do something about this. Maybe we do the election over again. And we thought Mike Pence would, you know, decertify, do what he could have done. And we thought Trump may do a military. We thought many, many things may happen, except the one thing that did happen. What went wrong?
Yeah, yeah. That was unbelievably disappointing, I have to say. Because, I mean, I think Steve Bannon was right. We had this. We had all the power levers. We had the state governments with the state legislatures. You know, we had the House of Representatives, the constitutional solution when you have a contested election. We've
right.
done it two times, if I call it, two or three times in the past. We had the Supreme Court with a supposedly six-vote conservative majority. I mean, we had it. We had everything. And we had the vice president, you know, the presider over the proceedings, who did have the constitutional right to send this back to states. And no, I mean, outside of those brave senators like Hawley and Cruz and all, who stood up to contest, everyone hid under their desks. They literally just hid under their desks. And I got to say, you know, in the end, when we look back at this, I thought we had resolved our civil war in the Republican Party in 2016. The civil war was between the grassroots deplorables, you know, the nationalist populist traditionalists, the patriots, who are the backbone of the party, versus the rhinos. And instead of producing a patriot right, Trump oversaw a patriot light party, L-I-T-E. He had the grassroots, but he did not have the leadership. The leadership was fully rhino, fully establishment. And that was the big tragedy, I think, that came out of 2020, that the establishment up to that point was so willing to go along with Trump. And then, as I understand it from talking to somebody who knows Trump, the way he put it was, and this is, of course, after January 6th when it was all over, He felt incredibly betrayed, and betrayed by his own party. I mean, someone like Brian Kemp, he would never have been able to beat Stacey Abrams if it weren't for Trump coming down in 2018 to help him out in that campaign. Stacey Abrams was about to slap that boy silly in terms of the electoral process down there. So, I mean, you know, when all said and done, again, Steve Bannon, I think, is right. You know, say whatever you want about Stacey Abrams. She knows how to win. She knows how to play the game. She knows how to do it. And she almost beat Brian Kemp big time. Trump came down there, rallied the troops in 2018. Kemp wins. And then when he needed Georgia to step up to the plate and look at the particularly the mail-in ballot rejection rate that dropped by 1,000% between 2016 and 2020. 2016, you have about 5% rejection because of, you know, signatures don't match, different chain of custody issues. But in 2020, it went down to 0.05%. So, I mean, you have 1,000% drop. So obviously these were not being vetted. There was plenty of fraud to be found. And yet Raffensperger, the Secretary of State, again, ran and said, well, he didn't hide under his desk. He ran to CNN and MSNBC and started whining and complaining that all the patriots were being mean to him and making him try to overturn the will of the people and all this nonsense. So I think the tragedy that came out of that was the realization that the Patriot Light Party that the Republican Party had turned into meant that the rhino globalists who were still in positions of power ended up abandoning Trump when he needed them the most. And I think he rightly feels, obviously, the way he does.
This is absolutely true and absolutely shocking. And most of the people that I brought on the air during that last month, they didn't predict this, but they said he had very few allies. Some actually said as many as four within his own administration.
Wow.
And so we knew it was going to be kind of harried, but I just thought you had the court, the Supreme Court, you had Mike Pence, and you had yourself and possibly the military.
Yep.
And that all went belly up. My question to you is, and this is what everybody who listens to my show, they're like, just get to the point with Dr. Turley. You know what we want to know from him. Everybody wants to know, can you see a path to Donald Trump getting back in the White House prior to 2024?
I don't. I don't see it at all.
That's not what they wanted to hear from you.
I'm sorry. We're all going to – I think the best part about independent content creators like yourself, myself, and so forth, we love our audience too much to lie to them, you know, and there's no way I would ever just tell
absolutely.
Them we're not going to tell them just what they want to hear. This is not – you know, this is not itchy ears kind of stuff. No, I've thought about it. I mean, I think like Mike Lindell is a patriot. I love him. But I don't, I mean, I have not seen any specific path to reinstatement of the White House prior to the return of the king in 2024.
Okay. So if that is where we are and part of reality in life is dealing with the hand you're dealt. For instance, you deal with your hand. Before the show, my best friend Kenny Harmon's calling me, telling me Sam Darnold got traded from the Jets and I don't want Zach Wilson. I'm like, well, I deal with the hand I have dealt here. And so you just deal with what you have to deal with. Okay. My point is, what do we do now? What do you want America to do? What is the solution for us to rally around the flag in the country and get ourselves in position for whenever we get another shot at this, we'll get it done right?
Yeah, amen. Great question. I think there are two things, Gary, and they're already happening. They're happening quite organically. That's the beauty of it. It's not something we have to try to start up. It's already happening as we speak. I think the first thing is the rise of sanctuary states. So sanctuary states are going to be among the 30 red states right now that are building administrative and legal walls between their citizens and the bumbling Biden administration. It's really amazing to see. It's very, very inspiring. So, you know, it could be anything from Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who's been batting 1,000, in my opinion, up to this point, how he's come on out and unequivocally denounced issuing, even thinking of issuing vaccine passports, and how he's even going to take executive action, emergency powers of the governorship to ensure that no such vaccine passports even so much as wink within the borders of Florida. You've got 361 election integrity bills right now that have been introduced in over 40 states. Georgia, ironically, obviously Kemp is trying to he's trying to redeem himself here.
A little bit late, isn't it?
What's that? Yeah, it's like, oh, I'm with you. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, I mean, it's part of the hand that's dealt with us. Yeah, a little late there, Brian. Absolutely. Yeah, he hasn't redeemed it. There's no way he could. I just want to see him do what's right. But in the end, I think he needs a primary challenger for 2022. There's no question about that. But nevertheless, Georgia did pass an excellent voter integrity law where they worked together with Heritage Foundation. And so they brought some of the best minds of the conservative movement to make sure that election – you know it was a good law when, you know, when Delta and Coca-Cola and MLB are flipping out. Then you know –
there you
go. Yeah. Oklahoma is passing a bill or they're considering a bill. It looks like it's going to be law. That would reject, it will enable their attorney general to reject all of Biden's executive orders that either he or the Oklahoma House or Senate deemed to be unconstitutional. You've got Second Amendment sanctuaries exploding throughout the nation. 1,200 jurisdictions in 37 states have adopted resolutions that have made their counties effective Second Amendment sanctuaries. You got Texas and Florida rising up against big tech, giving their citizens the
right
to be able, to be able to sue big tech. This is what we're seeing. This is the sanctuary state. So in the and this is again the political opportunities right now for people like Ron DeSantis or Greg Abbott of Texas are well, and Kristi Noem. I think Kristi really blew it with the transgender thing. I mean, she could redeem herself, but
yeah.
I think that whole transgender moment was sort of her Mike Pence moment when he had that marriage bill or not marriage. What was it? I think it was a bathroom bill in Indiana.
Right.
Before. You know, so that was sad to see. But nevertheless, this can definitely be the shining star moment to show who has been Trumpified, who's willing to fight. So you've got the sanctuary state element to it, but here's where we come in, and that's the rise of what some scholars have called a parallel polis or a parallel society, parallel structures. And it goes back to the Soviet Union days and guys like Vaclav Havel, Vaclav Benda, these Czechoslovakian dissidents. Havel actually went on to become president of the Czech Republic. They basically argued in the 1970s, during the height of the Brezhnev era, that when our institutions have become so irredeemable like they were in the Soviet Union, then it's incumbent upon people who love truth to build their own society, build their own structures, and use those structures as a means by which they can publicly live out the truth and expose the dominant institutions to be what they are, which is a flat-out lie. And so I think what we are seeing is nothing less than the rise of what, again, they would call parallel polis or parallel structures. So you've got the alt media that's absolutely exploding, yourself, myself, independent content creators, Breitbart, you know, Newsmax, Gateway Pundit. We got all tech exploding, Rumble and BitChute and Parler. Mike Lindell's getting into the game, Trump. And those are huge with Mike and Trump.
Right.
That's huge because now that's big money coming in, right? It's very much like what Elon Musk did with Bitcoin. He let the trailblazers set the stage to see if there was a real demand for it when he said, you know, upon retrospect, it was inevitable. That's when you start seeing them pumping the billions here. And so we're starting to see more and more what are called frontier innovators. Frontier innovators are business builders who are not interested so much in disrupting the market like Silicon Valley tries to do. All they're trying to do is offer create. They're not about disrupting the market. They're creating markets. They're creating industries because there's demand that's already there. They don't need anything that's, quote, better than YouTube, per se. They just need a video platform that isn't going woke. That's all they need. So you don't even have to be radically innovative, per se. You just have to create and build, and that's what people are doing. alt currency is at an all-time high. So, of course, we're talking cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin and the like. We're seeing the rise of alternative banks where people are taking their money out of, you know, Bank of America and so forth, and they're going into local banking. This has been particularly popular in Lancaster with the Amish communities. They don't want to be part of these big corporate banks spying on them. They just want to be part of nice local communities where they can keep their banks. But then, of course, if you go cryptocurrency, you don't even need a bank. And I would be remiss, Gary, for not mentioning we have the best education in the world. We are the side of the conservative movement, the patriotic movement. We have classical education. We have homeschooling. We have Christian education. And in study after study, graduates, particularly from classical education, but also homeschooling, routinely score at the highest percentile when it comes to the SATs or any kind of standardized testing when it comes to math and reading and linguistic skills. So it's really cool to see. I just saw this report that just came out the other day. Reason Magazine published it last week. Homeschooling is up 300% as of last year. Before
you know
COVID,
why?
You were,
because
right?
of the China virus.
You, there you go. I was just going to say, before COVID, we actually had our private schooling was about 10% of student population nation. It is now hitting over 20, 25, could even hit 30% within the next year. We're within reach of becoming the majority.
Hey,
we are not far.
I'm with you.
Yeah,
I am with you. I hope this is where it's going.
This is where it's going. This is the rise of the parallel polis. So the rise of sanctuary states, rise of parallel polis. And I would be remiss to make sure everybody remembered, we have the fertility advantage as well. You mentioned the tragedy of the renewed push to abort and so on. That ironically has a blowback in the left-wing liberal community, in the secular globalist community. That is a huge and horrible blowback. You know, again, we on the pro-life movement, we don't care where those children are coming from, as it were. We believe every human life is absolutely sacred. That's why I've always said, you know, I never understood accusing Trump or anyone of racism when they are pro-life, because by definition, to be pro-life is to affirm the innate sanctity of every single human life, period. So
you got that right.
Right,
Dr.
how
Turley.
Can I
– You've got
right.
that right. And Black Lives Matter, right, if they really cared, they would be in front of the abortion clinic.
Amen.
Dr. Turley, you
Amen.
Know you're always welcome to come back anytime. We can continue this. It's like sitting home. I'm just sitting here with a cup of coffee like up in the living room. Please tell people how they can reach you.
Thanks, Gary. Yeah, they can go to my website, turleytalks.com, T-U-R-L-E-Y, talks. .com or just punch in my name, Dr. Steve Turley, on YouTube and check out our two videos a day over there.
Hey, thank you so much for coming on. And, you know, I may have to get you on periodically just to make sure people get off that ledge.
There you go, Gary. It's great. We're gonna have an awesome 4 years.
Hey, I hope so. And thank you once again and continued success in all of your endeavors.
Right back at you, Gary. God bless you. Thank you so much.
God bless you and your family. Dr. Steve Turley. And, boy, you know, we're trying to get people off the ledge and put on your chin strap and put your helmet on because we're going to go the Gideon David route. And we're not going to go full bore tonight with John DeLemme, the founder of Conservative Business Journal and the podcast, because he's really coming on to talk about this big event he has coming up. But I would be remiss if I didn't allow John, who has written a ton of books, founder of Conservative Business Journal, will be speaking again in June at the Rock the Red Convention, which I'm glad to hear. Public speaker, does it all. And his videos on the Biden scam are classic. Glad to bring back John D. dilemma.
Gary, my man Gary, how are you, young man, tonight? Gary Binford,
I'm fine. John, okay, but you can start in either direction. You can start with your event coming up, or you can tell people how whacked out the Biden White House is and why.
No, they're nuts. I mean, Jen Psaki to have a bunny in a mask with Easter eggs in the press room. You got to be a real moron to even think that's any feasible. If any normal human being would even think that there is a Democratic Party left. It's a radical attack. Someone's squatting in the greatest house in the world right now. They've stolen. They're criminals. They're going to be convicted. It's going to be overturned. God is going to move. And you got Joe Biden walk out today with Jill Biden, who dressed up as a half a hooker the other day on April Fool's Day, walking down on Air Force One. I mean, come on. You know, I'm Gary. You know, I get wound up, but it's now we're in a danger zone. We're in a dangerous state in America. You know, I've said also recently, all of you know that I'm the host of the CBJ Real News podcast show. I do a daily show each day. I've interviewed 212 people on my podcast. Gary being one of the top guests numerous times. You love Gary. Love his heart.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
But we really are in a serious state right now in America. It's all hands on deck, everyone. This isn't a game anymore. This isn't they're after everything. And unless we stand up, you know, I'm massively censored. I mean, I'm massively censored, banned everywhere, you know, banned off YouTube, banned on LinkedIn, suppressed on Facebook. I mean, I was on Twitter, off Twitter. Nobody sees anything. But what they're doing is they're poking the bear. You know, all they're doing is aggravating David, who slew Goliath. So you look at Joe Biden coming out today, you know, on a Rose Garden with him and Jill with a mask on, with an Easter Bunny with a mask on. It's pure communist control of just a complete fraud in this country to manipulate. Now, Joe was also I'll be very direct, and, you know, I want everyone to pay very close attention. You can quote me on this. Joe Biden is running a terror. Joe Biden is a terrorist running a war on this country through the border. The most serious attack in this country ever is occurring right now. As you're in Long Island, I'm in West Palm Beach, Florida, and all your other guests are in a variety of states around America. Right now, in Texas, there is a terrorist attack on America happening right now. There's tens of thousands of illegal aliens entering this country illegally, and they don't give a flying pile of anything, the Democrats. Kamala Harris is a joke, and that's why all of us have to be vocal, we have to be strong, we have to realize this can't go on for 4 years. This country can't last like this. You can't run it. So he's a criminal. He's a thief. So we here, you know, the mission at Conservative Business Journal, the initial mission was to conserve and protect what we stand on, pro-life, pro-Second Amendment, pro-capitalism, pro-freedom of speech, family values. There are only two genders. There's no confusion on that. There's only two genders. And, you know, got to realize all the stuff going on. And you'll appreciate this, Gary. I'm actually being interviewed on a Russian TV show tomorrow about Coca-Cola and Delta.
There you go.
About how they're, you know, look, I know I'm excited because I can't wait to fly Delta without, you know, any ID. No, I'm just going to go on a plane. What do I need ID for? An ID for nothing. I mean, the whole voter thing is a joke in Georgia. So, you know, that's why, you know, people right now are scared, Gary. They're scared. They're fearful. They're afraid. They're worried. The anxiety, the stress, the manipulation for the radical left, and it's totally demonic. I mean, we have the number one anti-God guy ever. I've never used the word Biden and president together. He didn't win. He didn't win. He's not the president. He's temporarily stealing the chair right now. God is going to move. And those of you that don't like to hear that, then you know, Gary's obviously a great friend of Christy and I consider him a brother of mine. I'm not like – I always warn people, if you're going to interview me, like, you got to be very – I do not speak in code. You know, that's why I'm banned everywhere. I talk about abortion. I talk about election fraud. And I talk about socialism. And I talk about, obviously, the ability of the killing of babies big time. And
terrible.
Illegal aliens.
Terrible.
Illegal aliens is the biggest problem right now. So,
yeah, John, what's going on in your travels? You've been one of the few guys who has been able to get around. You've been going from state to state. I saw you at the Turning Point thing. I saw you here, there, everywhere. What are you hearing? Are Democrats starting to get buyer's remorse?
Well, they're not Democrats, Gary. They're socialists. The election was stolen. Most people did not vote for Biden. A handful of Democrats voted for Biden just because of their alliance to the party or their hatred for Trump. But there was about 50 to 60 million votes for Biden. I believe well over 80 for Trump. So there's no such thing as buyer's remorse because they didn't buy anything. It was stolen. See, and I, you know, everyone listening, it's being more evident than ever. They're not running a country. They're destroying America. I mean, we are last on Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and the radical left. They do nothing for the average American. They're feeding the illegal alien vote so they could turn Texas blue, and then they're destroying everything that – everything they say is completely wrong because of the media. You know, the media is controlled by communism. I mean, that's when communism begins with the control of the media. If you go look at Castro, look at Nazi Germany, it begins with controlling the vote and controlling the media, which is a false narrative because they start to brainwash and manipulate a thought process. If you hear something over and over and over again, like I have a very distinct accent from New York. I was born and raised in Yonkers, and I was quiet for years, and I heard something that when I spoke, I have this accent, and I'm now 55. I haven't lived in New York in over 20 years, but it's in me. See, when you get the false narrative and they manipulate you and they beat you down that you're wrong, you're this, they're a racist, they're this, they're that, and eventually they start to veer people's mind and they start to believe a little bit, and then they got them. Wearing a mask. You know, by the way, this is not a vaccine. I love Dr. Elena George, who
there you go.
Had in a show many times.
She puts it out.
She puts it out. I love Elena. I absolutely love her. I had her on my show. I've shared her podcast tens of thousands of times. This is not a vaccine. I won't go down that path. I'll leave it to Dr. George. But that's why I put together, Gary, and I'm actually speaking. I'm excited for Rock the Red Conference in South Carolina. I'm speaking at you appreciate this, and up front in the prophetic conference in Pennsylvania, and I'm speaking as a strong Judeo-Christian warrior. How do we fight back against the secular movement? And, you know, how do we fight as Christians in a radical left secular movement in society? I'm speaking at a big conference in Pennsylvania.
There you go.
And because we have to empower people. We have to encourage them, you see, and that's why we're doing We the People Fight Back event. And the way God worked in my life, I have a very strong heart for angel moms. I know you've had Sabine on a couple times. I've introduced you to Sabine. We love Sabine. She's like a sister to Christy and I. I've interviewed 18 angel families. I love them because all of you know that my brother passed away when I was very young, and to see my parents bury a child is brutal. And that was a disease caused by something, you know, something that's preventable by an illegal alien crime. We have to stop that. Everyone needs to be deported. Legal immigration. My family's from Italy, and I have compassion for legal immigrants. So all the Christians that say, Johnny, shut up, I do have compassion for those that do it legally. And I do understand it's $14 million a day from the cartels. That's being fed for all the fentanyl. It all goes back to China, too. That ties right back to Hunter friggin' Biden. That other freak show. So I get a little wound up here. Because,
you got that.
Because it's dangerous.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Gary. No, it's really dangerous now. Like, all of you have to realize, Facebook's not changing. Twitter's not changing. You know, we're building something huge. 40 days Goliath was there in the valley. When they took 5,400 videos from me, all they did was poke the bear, Gary. I don't cower down. God doesn't cower down. We're in a Gideon season. So that's why we put this event together. We the People
right.
Fight Back event. Even before this border became the way it is, we reached out to Tom Homan. So Tom Homan, yes, everyone, it's not a rumor. He will be live. And I'm not afraid. I had someone come up and sponsor massive security. We're going to have uniformed sheriffs to our event. We're going to have proper security. I got Tom Homan, the former ICE director, who will be live at the event with four angel families, Sabine and Chris and Judy and Jim, along with Carrick, the former NYPD police commissioner. And Bernie, I had a great conversation, Bernie. John, tell me about the event. Because you don't speak really that much, Bernie. Tell me what – I said, we need to encourage and empower people. We need to straighten them. They're getting destroyed. He goes, I want to be there. Bernie Carrick, guys, live. Tom Homan, live. Naples, Florida. Gene Ho, all of you know Gene, great friend of ours. Kevin White, great friend of ours. You know, Michelle, you have Michelle on from Jexit. She'll be at the event. Pressy Stutz, our main man, coming in from South Carolina. And then and we have, I mean, so we have 16 speakers. We have people so far about from 18 different states. We have less than 30 tickets remaining. It's not till April 23rd, April 24th. It's a tremendous event. We have Frank Deverano, who served 2 years in prison under Castro. Captain Wayne Smith, I had last week on my show. Well, all these people on my show, but I had Wayne on last week. 77 years young, Gary. 5 years, 2 months, served as a POW in Hanoi Hilton in Vietnam. His story and love for the military in America is unreal. And then Philip Torino, who's I'm going to have a whole millennial panel. Philip, who's a national correspondent for Right Side Broadcasting. Many of you know his name. He's on the right side. And then Christy McLaughlin, she's the young lady who hosted the event when General Michael Flynn I was at. And then Dominique and Keith, who run Florida Citizens Alliance, who they teach people, they expose how horrible education is and what they're doing here in Florida. It slam dunk event, guys. You guys, you can't sit home. You can't sit in your closet and wait. You've got to get vocal. So We the People Fight Back event. It limits to 200 people, less than 30 tickets remaining. I mean, yes, Tom Homan.
Tell them where it's at, John.
Naples, Florida. Naples, Florida. Gorgeous event. It's going to be tremendous. I mean, Gary, people coming in from 17. We had to extend our hotel block three times. The hotel says, look, this is the final point. Your discounted rooms end today. The hotel is blown away going, my God, there's people traveling from everywhere. 17 states are coming in, Gary.
And this is the 23rd and 24th of April?
Naples, yes.
Did
in
I get
Naples,
it right?
Florida.
Right.
Absolutely.
Got it right?
Yes, sir.
John, we will bring you back on my next show, a full segment to talk not only about that, but about what has been going on in the country. Okay? I want you to come on and tell the people about the event. I know you only have 30 seats, but maybe 30 of our listeners may decide to take them. So I thank you for coming on. ConservativeBusinessJournal.com. Please check them out. And we will bring John back on the next show to do his thing. So, John, thank you very much.
Can I give you the website real quick?
Please do.
Just two things, less than 30 seconds. Guys, you can visit WeThePeopleFightBackEvent.com or call or text 561-847-3467. Once again, 561-847-3467. It's crucial. Be at the event. Be live. Be around people. Someone needs to hear this. You need to be around people. God loves you. God believes in you. Don't let the enemy of fear get you anxious or depressed. Gary Binford, back to you. Thank you for my time tonight.
Thanks, John. And we will see you in 2 weeks. John will be back on the 19th with Gene Ho, who will be speaking there, and Jan Morgan. Jan Morgan, the Fox from the Fox Business Channel. She teaches people how to shoot, not shoot people, how to shoot guns to save people. She will be on, a guest on our next broadcast. So it'll be John DeLimmie, Gene Ho will be on, Jan Morgan, and a couple other guests. Now, speaking of guests, if this guest that's coming on right now did not get on this show, I wrote him today and told him I already have a one-way ticket to the Caribbean because I would have to leave the country. Because Quan Nguyen was supposed to be on our last show, and it was our fault, my fault. They didn't see him in the queue. He had called in. He is in the Arizona house, wasn't sure whether he could get off the floor, got off, was in the queue, had all his people listening, and we didn't see him. So I am very sorry for that. Quan Nguyen left Vietnam as a child, as a kid, war refugee with a small bag of clothes on his back. Family got to America. He's been a successful small business owner, a prominent public speaker. His conservative values have been guided by his faith and firsthand knowledge of both the horrors of communism and the greatness of liberty. That's what we want to talk to him about. And we've had many talks off camera and off the show. And I really want to talk. I'm so glad he was elected to the House of Representatives because Quan is a true conservative and Christian. And I'm glad to bring back on the show Quan Nguyen. How are you?
I'm fine, sir. It's an honor to be back on the show with you, Gary. I really appreciate it.
I'm glad you were able to get off, that they let you out, because I was afraid they were going to lock the house door, and keep you out.
Listen, I actually made a point of making it happen. I left the house at 3 o'clock. How's that?
You're talking about your house or the Arizona house?
The Arizona House of Representatives.
Oh, I'm glad you're able to get out, because people need to once again hear what you have to say. We'll get into what's going on with the Arizona House in a minute, but tell the people about the horrors of communism as you know it and why what you see going on in this nation right now is very troublesome.
I lived through the entire war. I was born in 62, escalation in 1965. So I'm sorry, my voice is a little hoarse today.
Yeah, tell them. This is in Vietnam. I don't know if I mentioned Vietnam.
Right. And I left a week before the fall of Saigon, which is April 24th of 1975. So I got to see the entire things, and I got to go through step by step in my mind what was happening. So when you look at communism, the modern brand, and people, the media was constantly trying to sell you that It's a different animal. It's modern. It's a lot nicer now. But in reality, it's the same. Communism is communism. How to control people, how to control the food, how to control the economy, and most importantly, making sure you are disarmed. Because they can't control a population that's well-educated. They can't control a population that is well-armed. And so you can beginning to see what's happening all around the country. The Second Amendment is being attacked on a daily basis. Why? Because they can't control people who can defend themselves. You see where I'm going with that, Gary?
Absolutely. And you know what? You in a capsule, you put it out there. But tell people, from the time you got here, how long was it before you started to see this Marxist slide where it was starting to creep in, and how did it manifest out where you were living?
You know, it's gradual. You know the old saying, you boil that frog, you know, just slowly, just very slowly. So I would say the first 5 years, I didn't really notice anything but newfound freedom. And the reason I didn't notice anything is because I was still in the process of learning English. So I was just getting ready to learn how to read, learn how to write, learn how to read history. But about 10 years into it, you know, right about 85 or so, you're beginning to see the world is changing a little bit. What's really glaring to me is the lack of education the kids aren't being taught history. They're not being taught, you know, the basic civics. Or the Constitution or any of that stuff, you can see that the erosion of education is causing a new generation of people that don't care anymore. You can see that today. People don't care anymore. You know, the what do you call it? The woke, whatever
woke.
It is that you want to call it.
Choke to me. They call it woke. I call it choke.
Yeah, absolutely. You can see it's a gradual degradation of society, you know, daily. And it's really sad. When you're talking about a constitution, the majority of the young people don't even know what it is. They don't even know their rights. And so it's a whole lot easier to control a bunch of people who actually don't even know their rights. And you know, we can have our educational system to thank for. And, you know, I'm sitting in the education committee on the daily basis or weekly basis, and I can see all the silliness going on. And I hope some of my legislators can actually see how I actually feel when I sit in education committee. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. We're not teaching people how to read. We're not teaching people how to write. We're not teaching math, science. We're teaching a whole bunch of stuff that has nothing to do with making a living. You know, we got kids majoring in all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, we have a Prescott College here in the city of College. And you can actually make up your own degree. I mean, how crazy is that? So at the end of the day, you have, you know, plus the COVID-19 through the last 13, 14 months, it's like you're going to have a whole generation of people that don't even know what it's like going to school, sitting in class. Teachers don't want to go back to teach. I mean, I can go on and on and on. I don't even know where to start, where to end with this, Gary.
Quan. And now let's just pile on even more. You're not actually on the border, but you're close enough. What the heck is going on at the border? How many people are coming across on a daily basis, do you think? And what are you hearing from your section in Arizona?
Well, actually, I have a very close friend of mine that is one of the supervisors down at the border, and he's been feeding me information on a weekly basis. And I can tell you right now, within the next week or two, I'm going to get some very special videos of the border. It is amazing. It's a total invasion, regardless of what AOC might define invasion is, but this is an invasion. And by the way, you notice that the Department of Homeland Security is trying to do away with the word alien? Did you see that article?
No, I haven't seen that, but that's what they are, illegal. They're coming, illegal aliens coming across the border illegally.
Right,
you
right.
Want to be an immigrant? Do it right.
Exactly. They want to edit out the word alien. Just so you know, for years and years and years, people like me are called legal alien. But you can't say illegal alien. You can say legal alien, but they're planning to do away with those words too. So they're editing history. They're editing what's right and what's wrong. And so pretty soon, you're not even going to know you're in living in the United States of America. That's how sad it is.
That's scary. And
so the border is basically wide open. I can share some personal pictures with you later on when I text it to you. It's embarrassing. You know, it's amazing. A country with no border is basically not a country.
I think that's
what the Democrats are striving for.
Juan, when you're dealing with these kids, it's a Che Guevara t-shirt and free stuff. They seem to think communism is cool. I understand it's been taught in the books. The history books have been changed and everything. But this is where this woke is coming in. This is where the major big tech and the major corporations and the pro sports franchises, they understand these kids are going to be the next money-making group of people. So they're catering to them. And if they want socialism, we'll go down that path. How do we reach these kids?
I can tell you, here's a sad irony. If you look at the fall of Saigon in 1975, it took the government until 1986 to realize that, oh, crap, we don't have money. We can't operate without money. So you have to go back to the fact that communism cannot start itself. It has to be able to steal money from somebody else to get moving. So you'll never find a country where communist starts all by its own self. It's got to steal money from capitalism. When you look at Vietnam, guess what happened? They thought they can just take over and have this utopia where everybody is equal, and then they found out that there is no money to run the country. So in 1986, they adopted a semi-capitalistic system in order to generate money. So how do they do that? They're trying to get Americans to come back to do the surfing and the tourists, and they started building high rises. Okay, so it's starting to look pretty good on the outside, but in actuality, the people are super super poor. They're equally poor before as if they were living before the war. So what's happening is, if you're not a Communist Party member, you're not getting good jobs, you're not getting your kids to go to school. So only the upper echelon will get all the benefits from the economy. So communism isn't about making people equal. It's about enslaving people, make a lot of money, keep it for yourself, enjoy it. So let's go to the United States. The sad part is, we have the high rises, we have the economy, we have happiness. But they want to take it down, and eventually at some point in time, they're going to realize, oh, crap. We took down what we had, what was given to us, and to do what? They now will have to rebuild the system. But right now I can tell you, everybody is going to be equally poor, equally starving, and equally enslaved. That's what we're going down right now. So you're going to start seeing that. And like the gentleman before me, if you don't stand up right now, if you don't voice your opinion, if you don't get up there and scream at the top of your lung, you're going to go down Cuba, Vietnam, North Korea. And by the way, you know, all those guys that are supposedly members of the Communist Party of America, I like to send them to, say, North Korea and live there for a year.
Hey, just send them to Venezuela.
Venezuela. And by the way, you know how you can judge if a country is great or not? Gary, you know the answer. But I'll tell you, all you have to do is look at the border, see how many people are coming in and how many people are leaving.
Yeah, some
right
racist
now, I can
country.
Tell
you got
entire...
some horrible country. You got look at them. They come. They risk their lives to get here.
That's right. I don't see Hollywood leaving. You know?
No, you're right about that. Now, I have a question I want to ask you about your existence now. Now that you're in the Arizona House, and congratulations on your election, What is it that has surprised you about being in that situation? And is there anything, how's it going? Like, as a conservative, is it, you know, a lot of tension for you, or are there things that surprise you, or is it pretty much like you thought it would be?
You know, I thought it was going to be a lot of hard work, and then what surprises me is it actually is a lot more than hard work. Okay? So I anticipated that I'm going to be buried times 10, which is good. I was elected to do the people's work and to represent my district, little over 200,000 people, and I'm glad to do that. But we are barely leading, razor-thin 31 Republicans to 29 Democrats. And, you know, how do you get all 31 people to agree with all the issues? You'll never do that, right? You never do that. But one thing that I will remind everyone, including all the keyboard warriors that bashing Republicans every night, just to let you know, it takes 31 Republicans to pass election reforms. And we have done that. It takes 31 Republicans united in order to pass a pro-life bill. We have done that. It takes 31 Republicans to introduce bills that are friendly to the Second Amendment to protect our state from the gun grabbers. We have done that. So all the critical issues in the state of Arizona, all 31 of us are basically lockstep, right? So, you know, don't go on Facebook and bashing us every night as if somehow you know it all. But give some of us a lot of credit. We are working extremely hard to make sure that we protect the Constitution and we continue to keep our people free. And we're doing that. We're doing it. We're working very hard. So, you know, the 31 of us are putting our names out there, putting our lives on the line. So I'm not asking you to be kind. Just be understanding that if 31 of us didn't stick together, you wouldn't have a Second Amendment sanctuary bill going through the House and the Senate, and now we'll be sitting at the governor's desk.
You know, you have given everybody something to think about, because people are just so angry right now that they just want to lash out at everyone. But Quan, you know, you weren't part of the problem. I am confident that you are definitely part of the solution. I really thank you for coming on the broadcast. Please tell people how they can reach you, if there's a way for them to reach you, or anything that you would like to promote.
Well, right now, it's really easy to reach me. If you can ask me a question, just right now, just go to azleg.gov, azleg.gov. Look up my name, write me an email, make a phone call. My assistant will take it, and we're going to do every bit of effort to make sure we get an answer back to you. But what we need is more support than the you guys are lazy, or you guys are bums, or you guys are rhinos. Or, you know, we just don't need that kind of stuff. We're working extremely hard, and we're passing great, great bills. So I want everybody to realize that.
Okay. Thank you very much. You know, you're always welcome to come on whenever you have spare time. God bless you and the family and your daughter in the Navy. And, you know, just keep doing what you're doing. And please don't let them grind you down, because you know they're going to try.
You got it. It's bad enough we get it from the left side, right?
You got it. Yeah.
All right.
You got it.
Take care,
Quan Nguyen, everybody. And from Vietnam, understands what communism is, and he does not want to see it come here. I want to thank all my guests tonight. I want to thank Brigitte Gabriel. I want to thank Claire Lopez, John DeLemme, Dr. Steve Curley, and Quan Nguyen. They have put out mega doses of information here, people. I would hope that you would take these broadcasts, they archive, and that you would take these broadcasts and share them on your social media, be it either Facebook or whatever you do. You can just take the link, send it to your friends, because that's why I do this show, putting on people that know what they're talking about so they can help educate us, so we can help change this country one heart at a time. Be back in 2 weeks. I think it's April 19th. John Delemmie will be on. Jan Morgan will be on. Gene Ho will be on. And some other guests. But in the meantime, God bless you. God bless your families. And God bless America.